It's an action-packed double episode tonight. We're looking at two different chapters. We get to see a bit of a cliffhanger and then a finale. As I mentioned, we're still going to be looking at Abraham in the coming chapters, in the coming weeks, but you know, that's going to be season two. So tonight, we're going to go through a bit of a series recap about what sort of happened so far, what's waiting for, and then we're going to see the sort of the climax of this whole story come together. So a while back, you'll remember that, it was a couple of weeks back now, that Ian introduced us to Abraham. He was called Abram back then. If you, God gave him a new name to signify the promises and that he gave. So he was Abram back then, but we're just going to use Abraham to make it so we don't confuse ourselves. So we saw that God picked Abraham out from all the people around, and he made a promise to him. So now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. So Abraham took God up on his offer. Okay, he set out on the journey to this promised land. You know, he's waiting for God to make him into this great nation. Now, God, you'll see here, hadn't specified time frames. He didn't say it's going to take approximately this long or this is when it's going to happen. He just said, "This is the promise I'm making to you." And at this point, Abraham and Sarah just had to trust God, and they did. They picked up and they left. He was 75 years old, so we're going to remember how old he was, 75, and then he departed from Haran. So in the next episode, talk, we saw Lot making some bad choices. So Lot and Abraham, they were traveling together, and they had to choose which way to go. Ken took us through this one. You know, were they going to go the way that God wanted them to go, or the way that looked more prosperous? Lot chooses the prosperous place instead of where God wanted them to go, and we see that that didn't really turn out too good for him. And at the end of that episode, God gently reminds Abraham and Sarah of his promise. God says to them, the Lord said to Abram, "After Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Okay, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Right. So we see that, you know, God comes back and reminds them and says, "All right, again, this is the promise I made to you. Don't forget. Again, no time frames just yet, but this is the promise that I made to you." It's a great reminder. Takes us to the next week. We see Abraham and Sarah beginning to sort of question the promises of God. We see that Abraham says, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" Then Abraham said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house, or another one is a servant in my house. You know, that's who's my heir at the moment." All right, so he starts to say, "Hang on, I don't know when this is going to happen, but at the moment, it's a servant in my household that is the heir, not actually a son like you promised." Now God comes back in the very next verse with a reminder. He says, "Behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.'" Okay, so he takes him outside and then he also says, "Look up at the heavens." makes it a bit hard. So then the word of the Lord came to him. So he took him outside and said, "Look up to the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." And he says to him, "So shall your offspring be." So he again reminds him, even when Abraham's starting to question these things and say, "Look, God, at the moment it's just a servant," he takes him out and actually reminds him and says, "No, this is the promise I made you. Look out the stars. Remember, I said that your descendants will be like the stars forever." So God gives him a gentle reminder and sets him back on the path. All right, God reminds him of that promise that he had made. So Abraham has sort of renewed vigor. He gets back up. He keeps heading the way God wants him to. And he actually, you know, it says he trusted God. It says, you know, he believed in the Lord and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Okay, so after that correction, he says, all right, God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to believe in your promise. All right, now that brings us to last week. Okay, we see that Sarah and Abraham are starting to doubt God again. Okay, it has been many years. You know, they're just not seeing God's promises come to fruition. Okay, they're beginning to doubt him, and they start to actually take matters into their own hands. So Sarah actually says to Abraham, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. Sarah said to Abraham, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid, perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So she went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Now, you'll remember that before, God had made it pretty explicit. He had said, this one shall not be your heir, this was the servant in his household, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. This was to Abraham and Sarah. But yet they took things, you know, into their own hands. You know, they were getting impatient. You know, they've been in this promised land now for 10 years. Okay, they're trying to make things happen their own way. Now, interestingly, because they disobeyed, God actually raised up a people from that son of Hagar, who turned out to be an enemy of Abraham's children to come for generations, all because they were impatient and didn't trust God. Now that brings us to this week. Okay, so it's been many years since God has talked about his promise to Abraham. So we're going to pick up in Genesis 18. Okay, and we're going to see where the story continues on. Then the Lord appeared to him, that's Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah your wife? So he said, oh, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, or approximately this time next year, as another translation says. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. Now Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, or this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. So the Lord comes and visits them. Now, for a second, I just want you to think about what this would actually be like. Imagine myself sitting there and the Lord of the universe comes down and is just walking by, and that is amazing in itself. I can't even fathom what that would be like. You know, Abraham hurries to the tent. You know, psst, Sarah, you know, the Lord is here. Can you bake something? We've got some steak lying around, you know, having for dinner. I don't know, my wife would be like, why didn't you tell me that the Lord of the universe is coming home for tea? A little notice would have been nice to prepare. At least I could say, oh, look, he was just passing by, he's popping in. But I think one of the really cool things here, you know, verse 10, going through after that section there, in verse 10, God actually comes and reaffirms his promise, okay? And this time he gives them a time frame, but he says, you know, one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Now, this is interesting that, you know, he actually comes and gives them a precise time of exactly, all right, so this time next year, okay, this is when it's all going to happen. You know, you can almost forgive Sarah sometime, you know, when God says, yep, going to make a promise, and it's been, you know, about 29, you know, it was 75 before, we see later that it was 100 when Abraham had the child, so it's, you know, 24 odd years now later. So you could maybe forgive her a bit for being a bit skeptical and saying, look, is this going to happen? But when he actually comes and says, next year I'll be back and you'll have a child. But you can see by this point that Sarah has long since stopped believing. She overhears from the kitchen tent, and she actually laughs. All right, you know, she was past the age of childbearing. You know, after I've grown old, shall I have, you know, this pleasure of having a child, my Lord being also. And we see that, you know, she's saying, you know, I'm pretty old, I've been barren all these years, my husband's no spring chicken either. You know, she says, this is not going to happen. Now, the interesting thing is, she knows who it is out there, all right? She knows this is the Lord, and, you know, yet she laughs. And interestingly, we saw then in that translation, says she laughed within herself. So whether it was actual an outward laugh or not, I'm unsure, but, you know, we see in a second that God definitely heard. All right, now, you know, she's bound by her understanding of how the world works. Okay, I'm old. There's nothing going to happen here. Never mind that the God of the universe, the God who created you, the God who created me, just came out and made me a promise, has made it 25 years ago, has come about four or five times at least that we've only even looked at tonight and said, it's going to happen. See those stars? It's going to be like that. No, it's not the servant. It is going to be someone from your own child, from your own body. And yet she scoffs and says, yeah, right, but, you know, nearly 100, it's not going to happen, okay? Now, I don't know what happened here, but she obviously doesn't realize that God has pretty good ears, being omnipotent and all. But, you know, God says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? You know, is anything too hard for the Lord? All right, you know, I'm quite old. You know, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, when we see God's response here, I think it's a very gentle response given the circumstances. You know, we see that God is very good at bearing with us when we don't believe him, all right? He gives us many opportunities to believe here. You know, his response here is anything too hard for the Lord, and then he says, he just reaffirms his promise. He just says, at the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, or this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Yeah, he knows that we scoff at things. He knows how skeptical we are. He knows how, you know, how many opportunities we have to believe, and yet he responds with affirmations of his promise. And I think, you know, just in preparing for this message tonight, I don't know, it just really struck me, you know, when we see God's wrath poured out through the Old Testament sometimes, and then, you know, the way Jesus responds to certain people, you know, he's a God who has the right to react in certain ways, and yet here's someone. You know, his chosen people, you know, this is Abraham and Sarah, you know, scoffing at God, saying, you know, you can't make me have a child, you know, barren, we're old, it's not going to happen. And God doesn't, you know, doesn't chastise them. You know, he doesn't, you know, we see plenty of times where that does happen, but here we just see a loving response and just says, hey, I said that you're going to have a son, and you're going to have one, all right? It's going to be here next year. Now, again, interesting, Sarah not giving up insists that she didn't laugh. It's not really the right person to be arguing with. Now, we laugh at this, or I do, but I laugh at a lot of things, but I know that I do this all the time. You know, I was thinking about, Mark, it's a bit of a funny sort of thing here. You know, I did not laugh, and he says, no, but you did laugh. All right, it's a bit of a, seems like an interesting thing, but this is the sort of way that I tend to interact with God sometimes. I think that you know, Katrina particularly is always saying to me, oh, this is something we should pray about. Oh, let's pray about this. And I think in my head I'm thinking, oh, look, this is not the sort of thing I need to pray about. It's not some big life direction question or something. It might be just something in my mind I perceive as quite small. You know, I think, oh, you know, it's not a big thing. It's not something God's going to, you know, waste his time intervening on. And then we pray and God answers. We pray and God helps. We pray and God provides a way out, like consistently every time. As we know, not always the answer I wanted, but he answers me every time. Now, if you'd asked me, why did you laugh? Or why did you not believe that God would answer your prayer? I'd say, of course I believed. You know, it's God. Of course he can answer these things. But, you know, as if God didn't know my heart, as if he didn't know that I was laughing, as if he didn't know that I would say, it's not a thing for God to can do or waste his time on. Like, you know, God knows my heart and he knows that I was the one laughing. And again, if you would ask me, I would say, no, of course I trust God. But that would be me. And he would say, no, but you did laugh. You did not believe that I could do that. So, it's, you know, I think I realized I'm not far different from Sarah. Well, this is our cliffhanger anyway. This is where we're at, okay? We're sitting here. God said, in a year's time, you're going to have a child. And she said, yeah, right. He says, all right, well, you're going to have a child, okay? This is where we're left. You know, we actually get a bit of an ad break for a couple of chapters. It's not really an ad break, obviously. This is more of a break from the main storyline here. We look at plenty of other things. But we're going to jump ahead to where this part of the story resumes, okay, which is Genesis 21. So we're going to read through there now, just the first couple of verses. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age? So lo and behold, God actually comes good on his promise. And I like, this is a very particular passage here. You know, let's go through it for a second. He says, the Lord visited Sarah, and as he had said, so he visited Sarah, as he had said, so there's the first one. He said, I'm going to visit you in a year. He did. Right? The Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Sarah conceived Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. Okay. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him. So not a servant in his own household, not Hagar, whom Sarah bore to him, called him Isaac. And as pointed out, Isaac actually means laughter. So I think that's a interesting irony there. But all these things we see God saying, as he said he was going to do it, he did it. As he said he was going to do it, he did it. He arrived by Sarah, and this is the way it happened. All right, and Sarah, probably seeing the humor at all, says, I was the one that laughed at God. I was the one that scoffed and said, this is not going to happen. And God has made me laugh with joy. I think we see here that the Lord is very gracious here with Sarah. You know, this is the one who ignored God, who tried to do it her own way with Hagar. Right? She had scoffed saying, yeah, right. Denied to God's face that she'd even laughed. And despite all of this, God makes her laugh with joy. You know, it's a different kind of laughter here. He gives her this desire. God comes through on his promise. Despite Sarah and Abraham not believing, despite them trying to do things their own way, despite them being old, God keeps his promise. God keeps his promises. In our day and age, and even in Abraham's, it appears, we're such an instant generation. We want things now. I know I'm very impatient. I'm a poster boy for the impatient generation. I get frustrated as the microwave takes too long. I end up stopping it about 3 seconds before it finishes. I'm like, nah, it's taking too long, right? We see here that God keeps his promises, but he doesn't necessarily work in our time frames, okay? Sometimes not even in our lifetime. And this is completely foreign to me over the person who stops the microwave 3 seconds early. I'm like, no, that's too long. And then so when God says, the generations will be like the stars. When God makes these promises that lay across generations, I can't even fathom what that means, because if I have to wait too long for my thing to heat up, I get frustrated. All right. So God has a big picture in mind, not just selfish Michael. Okay. He doesn't just have me and my instantaneous needs in the next 30 seconds. God has this big picture in mind. He says to Abraham, the generations of children coming from you will be like the stars. This sort of promise doesn't take place in a couple of years. All right, this sort of plans last generations. Now, we've got the benefit of hindsight of, we get to see some of these promises come true. We can look back in Sarah and say, why did you doubt? Obviously, the Lord was going to keep his promise. I want to touch on that and investigate some of the other promises that we've seen God keep, and then talk about one that hasn't come to fruition yet, and we're going to see if we can use what we've learned from seeing God keeping his promises and apply it there. So there's another promise that God made and kept, one that we also can see in hindsight. So let's take a look at that. This is from Isaiah. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God promised to send someone to pay for our sins, to send someone to lay our sin on, because he knew that we couldn't do it by ourselves. We saw that Sarah received plenty of reminders that God would keep his promises. Okay, plenty of times, as we looked at those, what I jokingly called episodes, we look at those parts in the Bible where God came back plenty of times and said, no, remember what my promise was. And I remember I said it would be like this. I remember I said it would be like the stars. I said it would be from you. I said it would be that way. In each place that we looked through, God was there reminding him of his promises. Now, Jesus actually came. All right? There are hundreds of prophecies or reminders right throughout the Old Testament that we don't have time to look at tonight, because we'd be here till next week sometime. There are, these are passages that talk about the Savior from God coming. Okay, now it took a while, all right? It took a little while, but Jesus did come. Okay, and again, in hindsight, we can see that God honored his promise and sent Jesus to pay for our sins. Okay, now the religious people at the time knew that God had made this promise. They're kind of like an Abraham and Sarah. They saw all the reminders, but unlike Sarah, when Jesus actually came, they didn't believe. Okay. They didn't, they saw these reminders. They said, okay, well, we know Messiah is coming. We know someone's going to be coming. We've seen God fulfill his promises. He did it to Abraham. There are countless other promises. I've just picked one out of the blue here in Jesus. And yet, when it finally came to fruition, they didn't believe. Now, the promises that Jesus makes are also ones that he will keep. He is the Son of God, and his words can be trusted. Now, there is a promise that Jesus has made that hasn't been fulfilled yet. And I want to finish by taking a look at this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So that's that fulfillment that we talked about in Jesus. All right, he's come to fulfill that passage that we just read about in Isaiah and countless other passages and countless other reminders. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, Jesus has indeed come, and he did indeed give up his life so that we may not perish. But that end part about eternal life, we haven't seen that come to fruition yet. Okay, we look at all the promises that God has kept. We see that way, the way that right from the foundation of the world, God has made promises, he's given reminders, and then he's kept them. Okay, his plans span generations greater than anything that we can see. We're going to have a look at one quick reminder, which is, it's not quick, it's a reminder here from the end of Revelation, the very end of the book of the Bible. God ends his whole revealing himself to us with a reminder that he's coming to judge the world, and he's coming to bring this eternal life for those who believe. So we're going to read through this last little part of Revelation, because this is what God leaves us with. And we see Abraham, it's just intertwined through the story. And as I said, we'll be continuing Abraham and looking at other parts of Abraham's life. But we see this wider, bigger picture of God coming to save his people, to make a way for his people to be reconciled with him, he leaves us in a very clear note of what I want you focused on. I am coming back. Okay? So let's have a read of this here in Revelations. Again, these are the last sort of ten verses in the whole Bible. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The Lord visited Abraham and told him that within the year he and Sarah would have a son. God reminded him that the child was coming very soon, and the very next year it happened. The Lord promised a Messiah would come. He did, centuries later, but he did come. Now the Lord has promised that he will return. He promises that those who believe in him shall have eternal life when Jesus returns. So for you tonight, you've heard these promises from God. You've heard these reminders. In hindsight, you've seen them fulfilled. Now God promises eternal life for those who believe in God's Son. Are you going to react like Sarah? Are you going to scoff at God and say, yeah, right, it's already been 2,000 years since you said that? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Jesus will return. And he will return soon. We don't know when. Might not be in our lifetime. Might be. All we know is soon. God's plans span generations. Now, given God's track record of keeping his promises, will you believe? Amen.